chapter 13 of the Confession of Faith. And really, chapter 13, we're thinking about sanctification. Sanctification. Christ transforming of us. Also his, both his transformation of us and his transforming of us. This really flows on from what we thought about in the previous weeks. We have been discussing God's saving work in your life. God's saving work in your life. We've had week after week of how it is God who brings about in us this just wonderful new birth, who counts us, now we are justified by grace through faith, who declares you and I righteous, our sins forgiven, and the whole, not a part. And last week we were wonderfully reminded by Martin about how we're adopted as children of God. Chapter 12 and just the one paragraph. This evening, three paragraphs, but it's a short chapter. But it launches, chapter 13, we're launched into chapter 13 by thinking about being adopted and thinking about being children. Children and their development is a fascinating topic. There's many a parental book written on the subject. I don't know, in your bringing up of children, if you brought up children, if you read any. I had always good intentions of reading some, and then I sort of dipped in on a chapter, discipline, mostly discipline chapters. But occasionally, yes, there's books that sit on my shelf about these things, but I must admit, truthfully, after four, I sometimes feel as clueless now as I was at the start. Each is different. Each is different in their growing up. And yet, for each, there is the gradual more and more of growth. And we are thankful, myself and Jenny, for that. Sometimes rapidly, you know. Sometimes very quick. Caleb there just, he seems to have started walking all of a sudden. You maybe noticed that either at Mums and Tots or about maybe at church, you're sitting there and then suddenly somebody comes up beside you. Or Caleb has just started to walk. And they're even there this earlier in the week. He's now able, used to be that he had to grab onto like a table or my leg. Now he can sort of kind of make a tripod, as it were, and kind of push himself up. He just learned this. It's amazing, amazing. Julia, well, she has more and more. She's coming out of her shell. She's just chatting away. Sometimes it can be rapid, sometimes slower. I mean, Joshua has spent the year now in the Lynn, and soon will be finished P1. And over the course of a year, our house has reverberated to the sounds of ass and a puh, and he'd just be in conversation and suddenly start using phonics. That's what they call it, phonics. And slowly and surely, he is sounding out words and learning to read and to spell. Or I look at Phoebe, slowly, and yet all of a sudden, I dipped into her spellings there this week. Jenny does a lot of that, but I had a look to see what she was spelling this week. Ah, they're great words there in P3. Was it adventurous? And stuff that I would have had to, it would be adventurous for me to have to be able to spell. Wonderful, wonderful. More and more getting complicated. So you get this growth, but yet also not without its struggles. Not without its struggles. Caleb has his bumps. He can't learn to walk but not fall over and bump himself. I could probably recount today alone the things that he's fallen off of, but we'll not go there. Julia, well, she wants to be a big girl very, very quickly. And a myriad of many more struggles. I mean, I think everybody was sick last week. That's just, it's just par for the course. Struggles are plenty. So it goes, and I see you smiling as I recount, but maybe you can think about that and your own children or your grandchildren or your or you just see it in your friends. You see struggles aplenty. So it goes with natural children, so it goes with spiritual children too. We begin and we develop maybe rapidly, and then maybe it goes a bit slower, and it's more gradual, more and more, as our union with Christ, and we realize our union with Christ. And as adopted children, we know struggles aplenty. And at times it seems that they're overwhelming. I think I remarked in a sermon, was it last week, about how even as we get older, our struggles become more. We think that our struggles in our young life or our middle age, but actually, whenever we come to near the end of life, how struggles actually seem to mount up even more and more. We know struggles, we know success, and we want to talk about that this evening, sanctification. Give you a way of, give us a reminder of what it is the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in our hearts. The key thing to take away, actually, if we don't take away anything more, is actually what the confession talks about is more and more. More and more we put sin to death. More and more we grow in the likeness of Christ. Well, think about the start of sanctification. I've got some S's. Josh could be sounding out with S. We've got the start of sanctification. We've got the struggles in it, and then the strength provided for it. And they naturally, well, that kind of corresponds to the three sub-paras in the three paragraphs in the chapter. Our start of sanctification, our struggles in it, and then the strength provided for it. The first paragraph really talks to the doctrine, to the start of sanctification in us. And I actually I look back on my my shorter catechism. I could have used mine and Sashko's translation, but didn't. That's not good advertisement for the book, but 35 was the one I remembered from growing up, from as a wee boy. What's sanctification? A work of God's grace, of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the after the whole man, and after the image of God, and enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And paragraph 1 of the confession speaks that God's directed work of sanctification in your life. God is the one who creates a new heart and a new spirit. God is the one who further then sanctifies us more and more, weakening sin's hold over us and more growing as he would have us in the likeness of Christ and saving graces. But to state it clearly, it is God who sanctifies his children, the believer. John 17 and 17. Jesus praying to his heavenly Father asked that, we prayed this, didn't we, actually, just before we started our evening service. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Friends, first God takes you and I and consecrates us to himself. 1 Corinthians 6 and 1. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That is a crucial step. Before we are to make progress, before we are to get more and more, well, we have to be anchored to the path that takes us there. We have to be given that new first breath. We must be sanctified by the Lord, set apart and made holy, holy through that union with Christ. There is a definite completed work of God's free grace of justification and sanctification. We're renewed in the image of God. Christ has washed us and removed our guilt and the guilt of our sins by his atoning blood. Now, I know we're familiar with justification. We're familiar with adoption. We're familiar with glorification. We're familiar with regeneration as God's work once for all. But we must state that sanctification is God's work too. God's work of free grace. And it is a perfectly completed work. Did you know that? You may not feel that way. You may not feel that. In fact, I know you don't feel that way because I don't feel that way. This is the two aspects of this, isn't it? That we are to know that we are sanctified, and yet we do not feel it, do we? We have this burden of sin at times, many times, and we are growing more and more. But we have to begin by stating it is a perfectly completed work, sanctification. Why? Because we have a perfect Savior whom we are in union with by His Spirit. We are sanctified in Christ. Christ loved His church and gave Himself up for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of of water by the Word. We are sanctified. Yes, there is degrees from one glory to the next. Yes, there is that progressive more and more dying to sin, more and more living to righteousness. But I have to first teach you, as Romans 6 teaches us, that we're united with Him in death. We're certainly united with Him in resurrection. That our old self was crucified with Him, so that we'd be no longer by slave to sin. The confession puts it this way, that the dominion of sin in the whole man has been broken. It's broken. We are made holy. Where once sin had dominion over us, where once we would have lived as we would have wanted to live in our sinful self, in salvation, you are sanctified. God sanctifies that us. He breaks that link. We no longer serve sin. Rather, we're justified from sin and alive to God, and we live to Him. Sin does not reign in our mortal bodies, and it cannot lord it over us. There is a definite change. Christ died, buried, and rose again. And so we wash with the water of the Word, died, buried, and rose again with Christ. Christ has broke the power of sin and triumphed over the world and its prince. And so in our union with the world's prince, and so in our union with Christ, we share in that triumph. You need to hear that, don't we? We need to hear that. We need to hear that there is a definite start. There is a definite sanctification. Yes, we're going to come. I'm aware there's communion to come this evening, and maybe some of you might want to be watching the music later. But we need to hear that first, and I need to lay that groundwork that there is a definite sanctification. We'll come to the progressive walk, and Jesus' work of washing away our wicked and sinful desires and placing in us new saving graces. But this first definite aspect is good to hear. And maybe need to hear. We need to be reminded of it, that the power of sin is broken. Broken in that initial moment of the new believer's life. The dominion of the whole body of sin is destroyed. Sin is no longer our master. Sin is no longer our Lord. And who has the credit for that? The Lord Jesus Christ has the credit for that. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be praised for that work. In His free grace and His renewing of the new man and the new woman, the new boy, the new girl, a new self created after the likeness of true righteousness and holiness. Before we're going to walk, we're adopted children, and we are set our feet on the path by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's that more and more. This is the progressive aspect of our sanctification, a more and more. And the Lord does not just break the dominion of sin, but then there is a continual cleansing. There's a continual cleansing, a continual growth towards Christ and Christ's likeness in union with Him. And this is what we need, don't we? We need this. We need this in our life. We need this whenever the old man, the old woman, as it were, those embers of sin come to the fore. This residue of sin that clings to us as descendants of Adam. We need to know that there is a more and more. The Lord not just abandoning us, but as a father cares for His children, so cares for you and I. You know, this is our experience. John says that if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sin does cling to you and I as believers. But what did I say? There is a definite sanctification. Sin is no longer your Lord. We are progressively more and more enabled to put sin to death and put on Christ. This should not surprise us, does it? In one sense, the Christian is born again and the finished product, fit for heaven because of Jesus. You know, the sinner who repents and confesses sin, trusting in Jesus even at the end of a hard life, is saved and sanctified just the same as you and me. Why? Because we have just exactly the same Savior. But if you and I are spared the years, and we pray that is the case, as the Lord spares us the years, the Lord is pleased to work upon us a spiritual growth. I think at times we forget this. We look to the new Christian and we think, oh, they're amazing. They have everything that they need. They have nothing more that they need to do. Yet the wisdom and grace of God is such that he works through process, sanctifying his people by his Spirit. And that new Christian has much to do in the way of putting away wickedness and growing righteousness. Babes in Christ are not the finished product. The young in Christ aren't it either. And the old in Christ aren't it either. But they ought to be a little bit further on than the young or the babe. It's a great privilege for us to be able to visit the saints who are a little bit further on in God's providence, for they have had that little bit longer on earth in the work of that progressive sanctification, the more and more. This should be of great relevance for us as a church, because where he does this work, this more and more, this progressive sanctification, is here together. We grow in grace. We're fed the milk fed to the young, strong meat for the old. We're thinking than that in Hebrews, where one member suffers, all other members suffer with it. If one member is honored, well, we all rejoice with the one honored. Progressive sanctification happens together in the fellowship. As we sit under the word, as we eat and we remember together, not just at communion, but also times like our coronation lunch. Lovely it was to have time together. This is what it is as a church. And it's what happens over a lifetime together, until the Lord returns or he calls. This is the first para. This next two are a little bit quicker, but it's important to get that doctrine of definite sanctification and then more and more, that progressive. We are transformed by Christ and we are being transformed by Christ. Yet the confession goes deeper into the experience of sanctification, particularly in our struggles in para two. Our struggles. You see, the old man, the old woman rages in us. And, you know, there is more and more. Actually, it's been my experience as I've talked to you and my experience in my own life, that as we go on in the Christian walk, we actually find more and more sins that seem to be where at first we did not care for them at all, or it did not even cross our mind. Actually, we find more and more sins, little ones, little niggles, little goods that we fail to have done. And the only answer is that progressive, that continual battle as a new man or new woman in Christ against the old ways of sinning. We overcome and we need to keep going. We keep going until the day the Lord calls us home or he returns. There isn't a day where we are done putting off the old self. There isn't a day that we will get to our beds at night and lay our heads to the pillow and say, well, I successfully managed to put off the old self that day. That was a good day. Well, no. We continually, to the Lord calls or returns, we put off the old, dying daily to sins, dying daily to our self-righteousness, dying daily to the me, to the meanness, and maybe the meanness. I'm putting on Christ. Have you learned this? Have you learned to hate sin? We have the table spread before us, and we'll come to the table. We come to the table as people who are learning more and more to hate sin. Not just sin out there in the world. It's easy sometimes to put on our news and lament the sins of other men and other women. But have we learned to hate sin that lurks in our own members, our old self? It does not have dominion over us. We must put it to death, though. We must put it to death. We must realize that sin is separation from God. And as redeemed believers, we don't want to be separated from God. We want to be drawn closer to our Heavenly Father. We want to grow more in our love for the Lord, who first loved us, in whom there's plentiful redemption. Loving the Lord means hating what he hates. Do you hate what the Lord hates? As we read our scriptures and we realize what he hates, do we hate that? And do we love what he loves? Do we grieve over what grieves the Lord and what grieves the Lord in our walk? Sorrow, and true sorrow, over sin involves that repentance. Turning around, that walking away from sin. It's a work of the Spirit. It's not a work of New Year's resolutions. It's not a work of resolutions. It's not a work of trying harder. It's a work of dwelling more in the strength of Christ and learning to look to him more, loving him more. This is what the third para dwells on, because our sanctification starts, our struggles, they are real, our experiences are all too real, maybe even for us tonight as we think about these things. And yet I can end hopefully in para three with our strength. Where is your strength for this sanctification? We're not left alone. Are you left alone this evening? Is there no help? No balm in Gilead? No, there is help. There is strength. There is a strength to this dying of the old and rising to the new. Holiness, something now before us, and we're told to strive after. We spend a long time in the Christian bookshop having a good read through 10 Steps to a Better You. You can have a long time thinking about self-help. But I'll save you a lot of money. I'll save you a lot of time. You must die to self-help. That's the old man. That's the way the world is. The way the world's self-help. That's work salvation. We must live a people under the new self. It's not self-help. It's Christ's help. Christ's work. Help is too little a word. We are created by him. We are wholly reliant on him. Whom we have been baptized into. Who we are in union with. Well, we are never divorced from. Our walk is never divorced from him. We are purchased for the walk by him. And he walked it himself. And he is now in heaven praying for us, forgiving us whenever we go backwards, sending his Spirit to stir us up, to give us that concern for sin in the old man and zeal for holiness in the new. Romans 7 and 24. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, the answer It's not ourselves, is it? But thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's Christ Jesus. How beautiful that we've got sanctification to think about tonight, and then the table before us to eat and remember him. We're in a battle, but the war is won. The regenerate part, the confession talks about the regenerate part. I wonder if you've read this in advance or you have it open before you. You see this regenerate part in para 3. I think that little word, maybe it made sense for them way, way, way back when. It seems too little a word for me, the regenerate part. As if Christ only works in a little rather than our whole. A more modern translation would put it like this, our regenerate nature. I think that's nice. Our regenerate nature. Our regenerate nature overcomes because Christ has overcome. 1 John 5 and 4. Everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. Let me tell you. I don't know what your experience has been this last week, this last month. I know your struggles are. Some of you, I know maybe your struggles a little bit more than others. And yet each one of us have struggles unique. Our strength for the Christian walk is not in ourselves, but in Christ. And it is in Christ because he has overcome. You will grow. Mark my word. You will grow. You will continue to grow. Even over these last 8 years, I have seen, by God's mercy, amongst our fellowship and myself, growth. That is the humbling reality of what God is doing by his Spirit. And that's what he promised to do. More and more. Death to sin, life to righteousness. More and more is ahead of us in this life under grace. Transformed from one degree of glory to another. That's a powerful thing to say. Transformed from one degree of glory to another. I may not feel that way. I may not feel my life's very glorious. But you're in union with the glorious one, Christ Jesus. It's amazing to hear. It may well be that we are in a hard particular spot of challenge. A hard place of grief. A hard place of struggle with health or health of a loved one. Yet it is Christ's truth. We who are in union with him by the Spirit, we are in a battle, but the war is won. Keep going, more and more. And you know, if you know nothing, maybe you're watching on YouTube later, or you're here and you know nothing of what I'm speaking of. You're also in a war, but you're on the wrong side. Confess your sin, repent. Receive forgiveness. Join the right side. King Jesus, who will adopt you as his own. And more, he will sanctify you and continue that work of sanctification for as long as you have left to live here. Let's pray, shall we, before we come to the table and sing. Well, Father, we thank you for that reminder